Good afternoon. This is from, that was from Luke or Matthew. Yeah, we're not going to do what I was going to do. We'll do that tomorrow. Again, let me read the scriptures to you, and just from a particular perspective, I want to see this. Do not judge, lest you be judged yourselves. For in the way that you judge, you will be judged, and by the standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye? Behold, the log that is in your own eye. You hypocrite. First take the log that's out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly enough to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I was sharing yesterday something the Lord told me this week, and I forget what that was, but he just said, I'm inviting you to join me in always believing what's best about people. I thought, that should be obvious, right? But then obviously it wasn't. And he repeated it. He said, I always think what's best about everybody. It's not that he's blind to what people do, but you see, he always thinks what's best for them and about them. And he said, and I'm inviting you to join me in that. And so that we can say that we, me and him and one, we always think the best what's about everybody. And he said, that means what you entertain in your head and what you say with your mouth. And so when I heard that, it was kind of like years and years and years ago, decades ago, when the Lord told me that, when I kind of heard that it was sin to worry. And I thought, well, that was really frightening because I worried a lot. I was a new believer, and I was from a long line of professional worriers. So I thought that was a pretty unreasonable thing to ask me. Like, what was I going to do with myself if I didn't worry about stuff? What was I going to spend my time thinking about? And in my original Bible, this isn't the original one. The original one's in rougher shape than this one. But at some point in the conversation, very clearly, almost audibly, not audibly, but almost audibly. I mean, you ever heard the Lord's voice in you? It so resonates like an echo chamber. And he said, okay, there are some things that I'm going to give you permission to worry about. And I felt relieved because it felt a lot of pressure. How can I just stop doing something that you do all the time? And I said, okay, thanks, Lord. He said, anything that I'm not big enough for, you have permission to worry about. And I thought, well, that's not right, you know? And so this was almost like that, kind of like I deal with so many different people as a bishop and as an archbishop. So I deal with bishops as well as clergy and lay people around the different parts of the country and even parts of the world, particularly Africa. And so it's easy for me to be constantly informed about people's behavior and stuff. And when you're a pastor, the thing is, the higher the level of leadership responsibility you have, the more you're going to get criticized at times because you're the one who can make a lot of decisions. But you also become aware of stuff. Somehow you just find out things, and you're not snooping. You really like going, I don't want to know anything else, but people feel compelled to tell you stuff. And you just hear stuff all the time. And so it's so easy to just go over those things in your head, just the frustration or the disappointment or the fear of the outcome or the feeling hurt or betrayed, this kind of behavior. And then you have those pretend conversations, I wish I could say this kind of stuff. And then for the Lord to say, I don't want you ever doing that again. And I thought, well, okay. Kind of like all those years ago, I thought, so what am I going to do all day long? And I realized that part of that's back to the worry thing, actually, huh? And the Lord said, but then I realized how liberating it was. So liberating because one of the things that, and the Lord's given me an opportunity to repent. And again, the word repent just means to, it comes from two words. Some people say it means change your mind. It's not the two words the Greek word repent means. It means to think with. Those are the two words, to think with. Well, obviously, if you think with, you've changed your mind, but there's a difference. And so we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the more we come into agreement and think with him, that's really one of the practical ways that our union, our oneness is expressed. And whenever Jesus, the thing is interesting, whenever Jesus says those things to me, it's never with an attitude. You know, I was thinking about that song, "You Are My Joy, You Are My Joy." But I heard that as Jesus singing that over us. Because of what he said, for the joy which was you set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. And despising the shame meant more than just the shame he was experiencing. He was dead all day. He didn't care. He despised the shame that human beings live with because of the result of sin. He despises that. He hates what shame does to people. And so he didn't on the cross wasn't ashamed of humanity. He was in love with humanity. He hated sin, not us. And so we're the joy set before him. So that song to me was, "You are my joy, you are my joy." That's just true. And so whenever the Lord speaks to me, there's always joy in his voice, even if he's correcting me, because he's giving me an opportunity to grow again, to be transformed. In other words, to experience more of Christ himself being my life, living his life through me. Because once you surrender to whatever he's inviting you to, then he'll like manifest all that through you. Like he'll enable you. Well, like you're just trying to not think these things. Suddenly you're like, yes. And then he's just doing that thing, you know, in union with you. And so, this scripture only fits. Christ says these things. You have to understand Christ is saying this as someone who never thinks anything but the best about people. I mean, you understand he died on the cross for the whole world, believing that anybody could be saved, right? And there's so much in that. And so when he talks about us and he says that, look, if you are judging people, which he never did, he said, "I didn't come to bring judgment. I came to save. He came to rescue." And so he's like going, I don't have judgment, and therefore I can see clearly and help people with specs, because there's no judgment in my mind. I always think the best about them. And when you think the best about people, you're trying to help them. You're not criticizing them. You're not trying to put them in their place. You're not trying to create boundaries so you'll be safe. You know, what was it the Beaver family told Lucy? "He's not safe, but he is good." Yeah, so there's nothing safe about being surrendered to Jesus, the Lion of Judah. But it is awesome. And so from that mindset, Jesus is calling us here to Christ-likeness. And so he's like going, I don't look at people with judgment in my eyes. And so I'm able to bless them. I'm able to, and then you know what to say. Then you know how to help. Then you're not being critical. You're not pounding people. You're not this witchcrafty thing you're trying to control. And you see it's a speck. But he's saying, but if your mind, in your heart and your mind, you don't always see the best about people, don't always think the best, what's best about people, he says, then you'll have judgment. And that mindset is like a beam compared to the speck. Whatever it is they might be dealing with, what you have is much more dangerous. And if you have a beam in your eyes, how can you see clearly enough? I mean, Dr. Levin gets here, so if she put a beam in her eye, I wouldn't want her doing any kind of work on my eyes, because she would too blind to see. In other words, if you don't think, so we're thinking it this way, not just if you aren't critical, but you're going to get critical, you're going to be judgmental if you don't come to this place of going, yes, Jesus, I want to join you, and always thinking what's best about people, not entertaining in my head negative stuff, no matter what happens. Love believes all things. Just go ahead and be naive as Jesus and trust that it'll all be okay. And so, but if you have this mindset that doesn't believe and think what's best about people, then there's no way in the world you can discern what's going on in their life. A blind surgeon can't discern what needs to be worked on. And so I can assure you that whatever it is you think is going on, you've misjudged it. You've gotten it wrong. You may have gotten a little piece. It's like being a blind person and you feel the tail of an elephant, you go, wow, this is a little skinny long thing. Well, there is a skinny long thing on the elephant, but that's not a good description of the elephant. You with me? And so the liberty is that there's such freedom in your own head and mind, and you're set free to just, there's this playground in the mind of Christ that you just get to enjoy. You're not wasting time on that other stuff. It's amazing. It's so liberating. It's like you're soaring, that Jesus has called you up to this place. He's always calling us up. Repentance is always training up. But it also puts you in a position where God can actually use you. And he can trust you. Jesus can trust that you and he, that in union, y'all can actually touch people's lives and help them, because you'll see specks and you'll have the eyesight, because you believe what's best for them, to take, do little things. Let me help you with that. That's actually hurting you and you don't see it. You know, I'm not offended with you at all. I don't want to draw boundaries. I just want to help. And that's Christ-likeness. And it's so freeing. And so that wasn't what I was going to talk about today, but it's a good thing to talk about. Sounds challenging, but I'm going to just say, if you just go yes and surrender, then he'll that's all our part is trusting him. And then he does the part. Suddenly you find yourself, the mind of Christ, taking over. And you're having to fight for the right to not think best for people. You had to fight through Jesus, like try to gag Jesus, make him leave you alone, okay? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.